Let's look to 2 Timothy and see if we can finish up the last chapter of this today. And we're looking at each part of it with an eye to propagating the gospel and how Paul taught Timothy to teach others, and part of that teaching was how to propagate it. Not just the pyramid type, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, to Paul teaching Timothy, Timothy teaching faithful men teaching others, and them to teach others, teach others, teach others. So that's true. That's true. And there's a lot more to it, though. I mean, it's sticking to the Pauline doctrine. It's following the things, the way he lived, the things that he did, in reflection of Christ. He lived out Christ's life as an example. Now, I don't say he was perfect there, that he always lived it out. He gave us instructions how to go up against the infirmities of the flesh in Romans 6, 7, and 8. And every believer needs to know those chapters. Read them enough that you've studied them and can apply them in your lives. Let's start with 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Well, we touched on this last lesson, the previous lesson, that we see again here what we had talked about, that those of the circumcision would help Paul after they saw that Israel had fallen and that God had started offering salvation directly to the Gentiles that believed that Christ died for their sins and resurrected the third day for their justification. After Mark, to quote the phrase, after he went not with them to the work, it's good to hear that Paul could use Mark in the work of the body of Christ, the ministry of the body of Christ, even though the Bible does not say whether or not Mark had become part of the remnant according to the election of grace or remained part of the little flock. It doesn't tell us. Here, not that they could switch back and forth, but you could... you could be a believer in the new gospel that was revealed to Paul when he started preaching it, even if you had been a follower of Judaism, so to speak. I don't know that it's called Judaism in the scripture, but of their religion, the Jews' religion. And there are several examples of that. We also see the importance of propagating the ministry, and that's a key phrase, the ministry. Paul stopped calling it the work and started calling it the ministry when he was sent to all men. He said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So he was going to help with the, what's the term Peter uses? The present truth. What the truth had become to be by the time, you know, that he had written 2 Peter and recognized Paul's leadership from God, inspiration. And this would be after Galatians 2, verse 9, too, when they had shook hands and agreed to go to their separate callings, sendings. The work, the term the work, was a dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jews and Greeks from Acts 13, verse 2 through Acts 20, verse 6. Let's look at those Acts 13 verses. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch, notice it's Antioch, not Jerusalem, And that's significant too. There were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. I think that means raised by the royal family there, or that. One more. That was four. This is the fifth one, Saul. So you got Barnabas and Saul and three others there, Simeon, Lucius, and Manion. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So there's the sending by those three men, those five men, actually. They sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, there's the sending by the Holy Ghost that didn't end in Acts 14:26. It continued until his sending was widened. It says, "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." Well, the work continued until it was expanded to the ministry. The term ministry started being used. Paul received the ministry in Acts 20 verse 6, as reported in Acts 20 verse 24, 18 verses later after he got that sending that he had been commissioned for earlier in the temple vision. Acts 20:24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The ministry was from the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God, or the dispensing of God's grace to us, extending from Acts 20 verse 6 until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ. And see how Paul identifies the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God to all men in Philippians 4:15. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel," that's a significant phrase there. There was a beginning to the gospel he's talking about, and he says, "In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia." He tells when it was. Well, we'll have to trace back and see where that was that he departed from Macedonia. He says, "No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Well, Paul left Philippi, Macedonia, in Acts 20, verse 6, which reads, "And we sailed away from Philippi," and Acts 16, verse 12 tells us that Philippi is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. "We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came to them, unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days." Hold on just a minute. All right. Let's see. We were reading Acts 20, verse 6, where we abode 7 days. He says, "We sailed away from Philippi." That would be in Acts 20, verse 6, what Paul had pinned as being the beginning of the gospel. Well, he had already been preaching since Acts 13. We just read in the previous lesson, Acts 13, 38, and 39, how he preached the gospel of Christ. So he's not talking about the gospel of Christ beginning as late as Acts 20. It's a later gospel. It's the same saving message, but it's sent to a wider audience, and it's thus given a different name to distinguish it. God's very accurate about those things, obviously. it stopped being called the gospel of Christ and began being called the gospel of the grace of God. That was the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia. So, back to 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. That's after Acts 20, verse 6. Verse 12, and Tychicus, in other words, not just bring Mark, bring Tychicus. Oops, I didn't read the whole sentence. Let me start there again. 2 Timothy 4:12, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. So obviously he was cold where he was, in a dungeon or jail of some sort, probably below ground level. It shows that Paul did suffer, at least coldness in the dungeon where he was kept. So look at Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Talking about himself, he rejoices. Rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Not for our sins, but for the body of Christ's sake, that we would hear the gospel. And 2 Timothy 4 goes on, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, especially the parchments. And I take that to mean not just the books, the writings, but the scriptures. He does make a distinction of some sort there. Take the example, Paul was still studying the Word of God. He needed to. We certainly need to. Throughout this dispensation of the grace of God, our main resource and our final authority is the preserved, pure Word of God. Not the preacher, not the teacher, not the guy on the radio or TV. It's the Word of God. And you've got it. You can put it in your hand, you can open it, read it, and let God speak to you. That's how he speaks today. He's written it all down in a book. He doesn't speak with a voice. He speaks with the writing. Faith cometh from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. So, going on, especially the parchments. Then he goes on with verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So he was not a Christian, not a believer, a saved person. He was somebody hoping to be good enough or bad enough, whatever, by his works. And the Lord reward him according to his works. And none of us are as good as God. We need the righteousness of God imputed to us by believing that Christ died for our sins and rose for our justification. Just going on here, Paul gives a specific heads up, watch out, Timothy, about Alexander the coppersmith. And it also applies to us in general, in a general sense, according to the warnings in verses peppered throughout 2 Timothy. There was 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 to 12, chapter 1, verse 15, chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, chapter 2, verse 20, all the way through chapter 3, verse 13, and chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, and then here. So that's, what, seven different places. 2 Timothy 4:15, of whom thou Be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Does anybody withstand our words today? I know a lot of grace teachers that refuse to come on Pal Talk because of that very thing. They would be stood against. There would be those standing against them, coming in and disrupting. But it shows that Paul did suffer evil from Alexander the coppersmith. Look at, again, we want to look at a context type of verse that's at a remote reference. It's Colossians 1:24 that confirms that went on, that kind of afflictions went on. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. If Paul suffered, then that previews our lot too, as we work in the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I'm not talking about a paid ministry or a big church ministry or that kind of ministry. I'm talking about the ministry as Paul called it, spreading or testifying, living out the gospel of the grace of God in front of people. 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer no man stood with me, but all forsook me. And we can see Paul's first answer in Acts 22, verses 3 through 24. And we'll read some of that. Let's start in 22, at the beginning of 22, and read the first six verses of that to see what happened and how we can expect it to happen to us if you go into certain rooms that are here on Pal Talk. Acts 22:1. Men, brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Acts 22:4, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. When Paul finishes telling about his Damascus Road salvation pattern from Christ, he continues telling about a later experience in Jerusalem's temple. He goes on, after telling about his Damascus Road experience, he says in Acts 22:17, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even when I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Well, don't ignore that crucial statement in the Word of God, or the indicators in the context about the timing of that event. Verse 19, Acts 22:19, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. It's like he's saying, I helped kill him in that way. Acts 22:21, and he said, this Paul, that was Paul talking to God, to Christ, and he said unto me, depart. That's an order sound, isn't it? Depart, go, don't talk about it. Depart, for I will, future tense, in the future, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Well, this is, we've been reading in Acts 22, but he's talking about what happened back in Acts 18, verse 22. Acts 18, which was before he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, in Acts 20, verse 6. But that was the first answer that Paul was talking about. The following verses tell to what Paul was referring when he said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. This is what happened next. Acts 22:22. After he told the Jews and the people there listening, he told them that Christ had sent him, or was sending him, unto the Gentiles. Far hence to the Gentiles, not those Gentiles in the synagogues. They knew about them. They were okay with them. They brought their tithes. But he's saying that Christ sent him now unto the Gentiles, far hence unto the Gentiles. And in Acts 22:22, they gave him audience unto that word, unto this word, far hence unto the Gentiles. The ethnos, Gentiles, not the Hellen, not the Greeks, but the general, the wide variety of Gentile, heathen, ungodly, you would call them, just general people of the nations that had nothing to do with Israel or God. In Acts 22, Paul testified that in Acts 20, Christ had sent him to the ethnos, to the foreign, pagan, heathen remainder of the Gentiles that he hadn't been sent to yet. He was sent then to the remainder of them, finally expanding the salvation message to all men. Even though God had cursed those that cursed Israel in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And he was even sent to those people too. So going on, and they gave him audience to this word, and then they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. Verse 23, and as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. Verse 24, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle. And so begins Paul's imprisonment, at least arrest and some sort of confinement. The chief captain commanded that he be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. At my first answer, this is verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. That was when it was. Verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. For what purpose did the Lord stand with Paul and strengthen Paul? That by me the preaching might be fully known. That's scripture. Well, why? For what further purpose did the Lord stand with Paul and strengthen Paul? That all the Gentiles might hear. 2 Timothy 4:17. Not merely the Gentiles that Paul was sent to in Acts 13, according to Acts 26:15-20, but according to 2 Timothy 4:17, at the time, the Lord stood by Paul in Acts 22, there had been new resistance because of Paul's new gospel of the grace of God to all men. We're talking about the Jews that believe a kingdom is coming and nobody is saved now. They're waiting for the kingdom and to reign on earth. That was even the disbelieving Jews, the apostate Jews, believed God was going to send a Messiah. They just didn't believe Jesus was the one. They believed that they were going to rule on earth. So, let's go on here. Look at Acts 23:11. And this reflects back to Acts 9:15, actually, that he would be sent to... Well, let me get that in front of me before I mess it up. Because they're in a certain order. Okay. But the Lord, this is Acts 9:15. The Lord said unto him, that would be unto Ananias being sent to remove Paul's blindness on the Damascus road or in Damascus. He said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name, the name of Jesus, Savior, Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, risen from the dead, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Those three groupings. So we get all the way to Acts 23:11, and here's the first you hear of, it says, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Well, that's the head of the government there. So that's the king's part. Have to bear witness before the Gentiles. As you look back through 2,000 years, the major influence of these three things would be Gentiles. That's the most influential, the most people affected. Secondly was the kings, and thirdly was that changing, transitioning group of people that had been looking for a kingdom to come, and some of them still would, and some would be the remnant or small part of Israel that begins to believe. Remnant according to the election of grace. They believe God is gracious and sent his son to die for their sins. There, at that time, that brief time, there was a crossover that was allowed. God allowed it. And it's documented in several people's lives that they were Jews and became body of Christ people. Acts 26:22, having therefore obtained help of God, the Lord stood by him, it said, I continue to this day, from the time of Paul being charged unto this day. That's the span that he's talking about there. From the time of Paul being charged with this unto the day that he's saying it, I continue to this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Well, that would be the gospel of God. And about a prophet like unto Moses, that they should believe, or they would believe, and it would be good for them if they had, but they didn't, of course. But he's not saying that every word Paul ever spoke, if you add it all together, you can't find anything in there beyond what the prophets said, because the mystery is what the prophets didn't say, and that's what was committed unto Paul to make known. But here he's just talking about the time that he's being charged for, charged about this charge from when they arrested him, Acts 23:11. Paul says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Acts 26. Doesn't it remind you of delivering thee? It said in Acts 26:17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He was sent to the people and the Gentiles that he had to be delivered from. You see the connection there. Paul had been sent to those from whom Jesus was going to deliver him. In Acts 9, that was the people, the Jews, that did not yet believe the gospel of God. And the Gentiles that did not yet believe. It would be both the Jews and the Gentiles that didn't believe the gospel of God, that Jesus was the risen Messiah, the Son of God. 2 Timothy 4:18, making our way through here. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Since at that late time of 2 Timothy, Jesus sent Paul to those from whom he would deliver him, and since 2 Timothy 4:18 says the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, that indicates to me that Jesus had then sent Paul to every man. It wasn't a limited sending anymore, a special sending, giving preference to those to whom the gospel of the kingdom had been preached all along, the Jews and the Greeks. So, he shall deliver me from every evil work. And remember that Paul said, let's read Acts 26:17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So starting in Acts 9, there were some Jews and some Gentiles to whom Jesus sent Paul, from whom Jesus would deliver Paul. And you can see that he's being let down in a basket. That was in Acts 9. He preached boldly in the synagogue that this is very Christ, and then the Jews got mad at him, and the disciples let him down in a basket to escape. He was delivered. So that time in Acts 9, it was a specific sending to specific people, not to all Jews or to all Gentiles. It doesn't say to all. It says to those from whom Jesus would deliver Paul in Acts 26:17. But by the time of of 2 Timothy 4:18, nearly the last words that Paul wrote, Jesus told Paul to preach not only to the Jews and Jew blessers, but also to every evil work from which Jesus would deliver him. He'd be delivered by Jesus. Of course, when Paul was to go to be with the Lord, was when he would no longer be delivered, or he would be delivered from this present evil world, whichever way you look at it. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 19, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Verse 20, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Timotheus have I left sick. Left at Miletum sick. And we're about to close here, but that's, of course, significant that by that time, Paul had to leave him sick. He didn't have the ability to heal anymore. That healing was a sign for Israel, and it was a sign that he was an apostle. He still was an apostle, as he is today. We follow what he said, written down in his epistles. And although in Acts 28, verses 8 and 9, Paul had powers to heal, that's at the end of Acts. Here at the end of his prison epistles, 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul had to leave Trophimus at Miletum sick. 2 Timothy 4:21, do thy diligence to come before winter. And you remember he said back in verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring it. In other words, so he was cold and he needed some physical attention. Paul was trying to prepare for a cold winter's prison. He had asked Timothy to bring his cloak, and now do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Verse 22, to conclude, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be to you. Grace be with you. Amen. And that finishes the book of the letter, epistle, official letter of Paul to Timothy, his last writing. Any comments or questions?